Hello and welcome to Multicast. I'm Laura.
And I'm Friedrich. Welcome to our, I lost track, 8th episode. We are still in Prague. If you heard our last episode, we recorded yesterday. It's the last day of SNT 2018. And as you might already realized, this is going to be the first international edition of our podcast. So if you're a new listener, because this one is the first episode, you can understand. A short introduction, who we are and what we are doing. We are two students of TU Dresden, and in this podcast we try to explain and give some insight into our student network in Dresden. We talk about general internet stuff in the most broad and common sense, and also about all the student work we are doing with our network.
We talk about like events in the past or upcoming stuff, and like what are our goals and our actual projects, but also like we usually have also like a big technical topic, like I don't know, IPv4 versus IPv6 or something like that. So that's like always the scope we want to approach here.
Yeah, but it's always supposed to be approachable for every one interested, and we try to keep it understandable.
Because I'm a really big noob in like everything technical, so I'm here to ask the stupid questions. So, but like it wouldn't be an international podcast if it wouldn't have international guests. So introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Pavel. I am representing Silicon Hill and Sinkulka Clubs from the Student Union of CTU, Czech Technical University in Prague. Silicon Hill is hosting this year's SNT, basically. I just one of the guys that kind of got into mix.
Okay, so I'm Yona. Hello, I'm from France. I represent Resolio, which is a student network association, and we manage 400 user network. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And we are located at Lille.
Okay, cool.
Thank you very much that you're here with us. And already yesterday we sometimes dropped this name, SNT, but didn't really talk about what it is and why we are here. So the SNT is an acronym for Studentennetztreffen. And as one can already hear from the name, it has quite changed in the last few years.
Yeah, it started as like a meeting of German student networks, like I think 14 years ago.
Yeah, the first one was in Chemnitz in 2004. So this one is the 14th installment. Next year we're going to have kind of an anniversary.
15 years.
Looking forward to that as well. And what is SNT? It's a meetup of students from by now all over Europe. So this year we have France, Germany, Slovakia, and Czech participants. And we meet up to talk about everything student network related.
But also other stuff like.
And a lot of other stuff as well, right?
The topics are not restricted.
Yeah. So we try to give technical help, insight how we do it in our places and how we can improve it. We try to basically get all the nice things from other clubs and look how they do stuff and how we can improve.
Like sometimes a club has faced situation another club is just going to face, like we talked about that we had a long trip of uniting our different parts of our student network. And there are like student networks here who want to unite with their partners in the city. So we can like give them advice how to do that or how not to do that. And something like that, or like technical advice, what kind of software, hardware you use or prefer, or stuff like that.
Yeah. So how does that look? We meet up for usually from Thursday to Sunday. So far every year, different club hosted. So it's a nice possibility to see a new city and get around a little. And then there are technical talks, like we got a great introduction in regarding IPv6 only mail infrastructure this year. Mm-hmm. That was really nice. There are city tours and campus tours. You get to see a lot of the university and faculties. Mm-hmm. And their project, and of course the hosting student network, or even general student organization. It depends, of course, how they are organized.
Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago, it actually was at home with us in Dresden, and last year it was in Stuttgart. But like, how did it happen that we are now in the Czech Republic, that we got international?
Well, because I wasn't at the last SNT, I can only basically relay what I know, but I heard that we made quite a good presence last year, and that then we were invited to host the event this year. And as for the question why we are international now, well, I think it's my fault partially, but it always starts like with the little things. I met a guy from France during my holidays last year. And it was during the time when the SNT was going on and when the Silicon Hill returned. I haven't even heard of this event before. But I told my French colleague who I stayed with. He told me... We discussed that we could try inviting some guys from the French networks, and we got in touch. He got in touch with some of the admins in Paris, I believe. That was a couple months later, and I think they were not interested, but or they are not coming actually. But they referred to FEDERES, like as the federation of all the other of all the student networks in France.
Yeah, that's quite a little bit the equivalent of SNT, but like with more structure around it, and mm-hmm. you have to pay some fees to be in it, and they offer services.
Mm-hmm. Oh well, so I tried. Actually, it was not until 2 months before the event I actually tried to contact the guys through IRC. So I wrote in the channel, and they were genuinely excited. Then I sent an email, and as I discovered today from the guys, I think the email just got lost somewhere in the queue, in the approval queue of the mailing list.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. For about a month. Anyway, four guys and one lady made it here. So I'm really grateful that it actually worked. And also our colleagues invited clubs from Slovakia, from Bratislava and Žilina, and they came as well.
Yeah, it's a really, really great expansion, I think. I'm very happy to see all these new faces here. And I think it's really, really interesting to see that we have so much in common in all the different countries. Mm-hmm. Still, and I think it's also a great sign that we managed to make this event international in 2018, mm-hmm. In a time when other developments look quite different in Europe. Yeah, great development there.
Yes. So you just mentioned like Fideres, I think is the name.
Yeah.
And it's like it's S&T, like you said, but with more structure. What do you mean with like more structure?
Like S&T, we meet along the year. So for Fideres, it's like twice a year, and only like from Friday evening to Sunday afternoon. So shorter period, but like twice a year. And but from what I understood from S&T, it's just the organization that hosts, that manage everything and the budget and financial things, even if there can be help from other associations. Resident in France, there is an association that hosts the event, but most of the budget come from Fédérez, which is the federation of a lot of different clubs, and so they paid, and they also offer services to the association that are in this federation.
Yeah, what kind of services are there?
I know there are some virtual machine that are offered to help association to have some server outside their own network. So if their network has some kind of problem, there will still be something outside. They are talking about hiring maybe some consultant about law to help us so that every financial stuff and law stuff would be okay for.
So that's correct, and you don't have any problems with the state or something like that.
Yeah, that's basically it. And sometimes there are troubles with some legal stuff, and they would be there for helping. So I think that's pretty much it. And there are some discussion that help us to help each other when there are trouble on our networks. So.
Okay. Well, that's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
So that nobody runs into any issues regarding legal stuff. Because I think, like, especially for like a really technical club, you usually don't have many people that know about like legal stuff and finances. Yay. And stuff.
So it's not done already, but it's, I think it's on the way. They have talked about it at least at the latest meeting. So
okay. So and like, how many clubs are in your federation?
I think they are like 15 or 20 clubs, okay. But they are like smaller than yours from what I heard, because most of us only manage a few hundreds user, and not all clubs are active members, and not all clubs come to meetings. So
quite similar to S&T in a way. There's like the core team of bigger networks which always attend and are very active all around, and then
very passionate about it all.
The smaller ones which drop in, drop out sometimes, depending on the people currently running the network and how they are interested. Yeah, but I think it's quite great that you managed to get a proper organization set up for all the things. We sometimes talked about getting a little more structure for S&T to manage finances and so on. I think there's also a lot, especially in this regarding law and GDPR compliance and whatnot, which could be solved centrally. What's a little in the way in for us here in Germany is or for the former incarnation of S&T so far was that there's quite a lot of different organizational entities regarding how student networks are formed. Some are part of the students' union. Some are part of the I don't know the English this Studierendenwerke.
So like the organization that organizes all the dormitories and like rents the dormitories to other students. Sometimes the student network is part of that.
Yeah, and some are just everyday non-profit organizations. Is this more unified or more are there less differences for you and it made it easier? Or
basically, I think there are two kinds in France. There are those association 1901, which are the basic status, the main status for any kind of association, and which is just to make things official. And there are some clubs who are not as official as those associations and depends on their schools often. So that's two kinds, but we don't have many other types of things.
Okay, and how is it like in the Czech Republic? Are you like all students organization part of a student organization? Like a bitter one, like the student union here?
Probably not so much. Actually, here in Prague, the Czech Technical University has probably the biggest student club throughout the Czech Republic. And while there may be some, there are some other student clubs around the Republic, like in Ostrava, Brno, and other places. And there are also meetups with those clubs, but it is pretty rare if there is a networking group operated like a student network operated by the students. At least that's how, that's what I know.
Okay.
Well, the student union of CTU is actually, call it an association of. It's a general association. It's not just for internet. It's also for other activities like fitness, dancing, and I don't know, other extracurricular activities.
I remember there was like a tea club or something.
Exactly, it's a tea club, and there is a board games club also, and a Christian club. Club for Christians, and really everyone can have a club in the student union if they want. It can give them more presence, like if they want to have the club and they want to be united in the club union. But we have like 7 or 8 dormitory clubs, which biggest of them is Silicon Hill, and I personally come from a club called Cinkulka, which is located, which operates on Cinkulaho dormitory in Davice, where the CTU campus is also located. So these dormitory clubs all provide internet connection to their members. It is partly for historic reasons, but we get the internet connection from the university, and I think it's in exchange for some kind of propagation or something like that. I don't know. But organizationally, a student union is student union. Helps its members with there is accounting, and there is one employee, which is a secretary actually, but we outsource other stuff, like if we need some law assistance, then we also have that, we can provide that to other clubs. So it is definitely worth it for the student clubs to be a part of this union, and they can also get financial support for their events also through the student union, okay. Because there are some funds that all the clubs, all the participating clubs can have to donate to these clubs, to these funds, but then anyone can really ask for a portion of that money.
So like if I get it right, if like my new favorite, the tea club, mm-hmm. wants, wants to throw a big tea party.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They can like use some of the funds, and then they can ask you like for help if they need like some internet setup or so, if they want to discuss the favorite tea or something. I don't know.
Yes, that's basically it, and it happens. Actually, the tea club is situated here in Strahov dormitories. I think it's block 6 or 7. I don't know. Yeah, that's it. And yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, we already heard that there are a lot of different activities all around Silicon Hill. Do you in France, are there also related activities or?
One thing to know is that our networks are not tied to universities like maybe yours or like to dormitories. We're all tied to engineering school, which is a French system that I probably won't explain because it's complicated. But basically, yeah, we are tied to a school, and some school have residence for their student, and network student network manage this resident network. And in engineering school, I think all the time, there are a lot of different associations that do a lot of different things, from bakery to network to art to a lot of different things. And all those associations are, a lot of these associations are depending on something which is a little bit like the student, you know, union, which is the Bureau des Élèves, like student board, something like that, like this. But yeah, that's for the network student that all depending on their school, because other network just took their independence from those student board to get an official status and to be recognized by the state as a, an official thing, official association. So, like, yeah, that's pretty much where how it works.
Yeah, the student union is also an official organization. So it that helps with the presence in the world.
So, like, you can reference if you like want to give someone like a job to do for you, and so like you can reference like we are from the student union, and it's like
exactly
okay, a better position.
And besides the local students organizations, a big topic for student networks is always the uplink connectivity. In Germany, most of the student networks go through their university, but some also manage to get a direct connection to their research networks. In Germany, we have two research networks. Basically, one is the nation one called DFN, and then there is in Baden-Württemberg a statewide network, Bellevue. And some, yeah, especially this Bellevue network is very cooperative in regards to student networks. We are always looking there quite
envious.
Yeah. And here in Prague, we already visited CESnet. That's the research network here, right?
Yes, that's true. CESnet is actually connects the academic organizations and probably most of the universities into an international academic network, which then goes on to other countries as well. And
but not to Germany, I saw on the map.
No, it's the main uplink is to Frankfurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
To DFN.
But like the map was like everywhere, but not to Germany.
Yeah, it was not the most, not the best
map.
In that regard. It was hard to find the mm-hmm. most important connection.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a connection to Germany and there was a connection to France. I can't actually remember if there was something like that. Yeah, that could, probably could be like the we are all connected to the giant, I think. That
yeah, that's mm. big, the at least European network, or not yeah. even international network. Research network organization, yeah. which is also the organization standardizing the ADROAM, yeah. which probably all of our student listeners know and use. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Silicon Hill network here, do you have a direct connection to SESnet, or how does this work?
Well, there is a connection to the CTU. I think it is to the building on Karlovo Namiesti, Charles Square. Then CTU is then connected directly to SESnet. And it is that way with all the dormitories. They are first connected to some... To the university, basically, and then they wrote it to the rest of the world.
Yeah, and you have, I think, 10 gigabit unmetered connection?
Silicon Hill has 10 gigabit, Masarykova okay. has also 10 gigabit, but the other dormitories vary.
Okay.
And it's because some of this is because of the radio links, but some of this... just some administrative stuff that or technical stuff like there wasn't free slot for 10 gigabit at that time before. So for example, Sinkulka doesn't have 10 gigabit yet, but we are looking forward to it, yeah. I hope very soon. I don't want to push it though. We still have problems saturating our 1 gigabit to be honest. Even with the 500 users.
Mm. Okay, and so...
400, actually.
How's the general network in France?
There is Renater, which is the, I think, the equivalent of ChessNet or your educational research networks. But officially, Renater only provide universities and... other schools and research lab, obviously, but they don't give that directly to students. So some French association go through their school to get an access to Renater network, and some others just hire a private company to
like just a commercial access or something.
Yeah, a commercial uplinks.
Okay.
Because, yeah.
How do you do it at your network?
Yeah, at our network we have a commercial uplink because we didn't want to go anymore through the school, as when you go through the school you are dependent to how the school work, and if it's holiday and all the servers, there is a power cut and all the servers are down and don't reboot, then you don't have internet in your residence because there was no one at school to reboot them. And yeah.
So it's not really well maintained at your school.
No, it's not like the school is, it's during holiday, there are not many people around there, and yeah, sometimes it takes time to get back internet. And yeah, it's that and the fact that if we go through the school, like the school can filter what we can access or not, and they restrict the bandwidth that we can access to. So in the end, like my association, we've been independent from the school like for 1 year, like last September. And we now have 1 gigabit uplink, and yeah, I think everyone is happier now.
Okay.
Even the school, we don't have to manage like the residence traffic.
Yeah, there. Yeah, yeah, because students can cause quite some complaints and abuse cases and so on. I guess they're happy to get rid of that as well.
I don't know. I think we haven't got one since I'm there. I'm there since last September, but like for 1 year we didn't have any. So
okay,
interesting. Yeah. Oh,
that's great.
I would have expected at least some torrent abuse complaints.
Yeah, I think it's because French government isn't really fast on reacting on abuse and we have a law which is ADOPI, which should prevent those things, but in the end they're all not the budget behind it, it's not, I think, being enough to really enforce this law, and there are many things to go around it.
See.
And this commercial uplink is you can manage to pay for that easily, or is it a heavy burden? I mean, we don't have to go into the numbers, but
I approximately know them. Like, we've the price for 1 year is 80 euro per user. We have approximately 400 user, so do the math. But in the end, we pay the uplink. 15,000 a year for 1 gigabyte uplink, and so it's like a third of our budget, but it's manageable. It's our main activity, so we still have 2/3 to replace equipment or to what we need to.
Okay, so you said 80 euros per student and year.
Yeah, 80 per year and 8 per month. So
okay, so you can choose the billing cycle
or,
I think that's a quite common number. We also heard yesterday. How do you manage in here in Prague?
Well, the membership is for this particular purpose, network like a network membership, we call it, which gives the members an access to the academic network. Then we got about 32 euros. It's 800 crowns, but it is 32 euros approximately. And that's for semester. And so for the whole year, it is 64. And it is always paid by the semester, though. But and we actually manage with this money to replace the equipment also, without with a little help from some organizations. They sometimes donate some servers, some old servers that we can then use to run things, or some switches, network equipment. It sometimes happens, and it helps. It helps to expand the network because even though we can technically renovate the equipment,
afford new ones
exactly, but we in the case of my dormitory, we didn't do it as often as we probably should, and we got the switches almost at the end of the life and everything. But now we've bought a bunch of boxes, and we are going to get a 10 gigabit backbone and gigabit to consumer, so that should be quite nice.
Yeah, that's always great to put in new devices and bring everything up to date again.
Yeah.
We have a lot about that to do, because in our association, since we were independent only since last year, previously we were depending, like, the internet connection was included in the rent of the residence, and the association that collects the rents and run the residence didn't give us nearly anything to update our network, so we had a lot of old stuff, and for a long time we just replaced them by getting old stuff from other student network. So we have a lot of old stuff that should be probably updated.
Yeah, most student networks are quite good at using devices to their fullest extent.
Yeah.
Very green.
Yeah, at least it's green.
Using an existing device is always greener than getting a new one, usually. So
yeah.
One can see it like that. That's an ecological achievement to run these devices so long and
Nice point of view.
Yeah.
Is it though? Because the new devices usually are a little bit more, they are saving power more than the old ones.
Yeah, but I never went through the numbers, but I have the impression that usually these power savings are just then again used for more features, and so the total power consumption more or less stays at the same level.
Yeah,
true. I mean, of course, new devices are more efficient, but now you start to use routing devices everywhere instead of simple switches, because the network features are there and the development is like this. And so now you have much more intelligent devices which need more power again. Mm-hmm. That's at least what's happening for us as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think now we have like quite a good idea how the different backbone networks are structured in our different countries. So I think like another kind of difficult topic is how, like we now talked about like the hardware we use, but like also software is also always a big topic. And usually like the consensus is for many student networks that open source is the best source. But sometimes like commercial users or universities prefer closed source. So how is it with your countries?
Should I start? Probably. Well, open source is quite a big topic in our university, at least at Faculty of Information Technology, where I currently study, is mostly run on open source software, with a few exceptions where you need to run Windows on some hardware classes, for example. But that software usually is not either available or running well on Linux. But other faculties, though, they are still more or less using some Windows servers for reasons I don't know exactly. But it might have to do with the fact that there is quite specific software equipment for example, architects, AutoCAD, ArchiCAD, software like this, which only runs on Windows and never will run on Linux as far as I will live, I think. So either they have to run it on even the students sometimes have trouble with this. So either they have to run it under Wine or they have to have Windows for this. So they cannot just easily switch, and this is like a big, this is quite a big setback for the general adoption of Linux, I feel. And Windows, I hate to say it, but Windows is easier to use in my opinion, like on a regular laptop or a personal computer. For a regular user, it is easier for the user to get new software, to get the exact software he wants, like not some alternative that usually is free and it's pretty good. But if you need Photoshop, for example, if you need that AutoCAD, you probably get the Windows or Mac version. Actually, that's true, there is also this thing. But at the university, so the information technology faculty uses Linux quite extensively, and students usually have Linux installed on their computers as well.
Okay, so is there like an official stance of the university in this regard? Do they have like
They support, I believe they support this. In fact, there was a press statement around, I think, a few days ago, that the university is going SUSE, the operating system, and actually the university is managing computer classrooms, and they are running Gentoo
okay
on the computers. So the official stance of this specific faculty is that they support Linux. Of the other CTU might have a different view.
Okay. In Germany, we have the problem this, or I mean, yeah, that that Microsoft is lobbying quite hard with all the government and on several levels. So, for example, in Saxony, we simply have there's an official contract between the Saxon state and Microsoft that there is a general license contract for all the for all the officials and all the universities and schools and so on. And so you can't, on the university level, you basically can't escape this. Because then everyone always has this mindset, well we have the licenses anyhow, the state bought it already, so let's just roll with it.
But I mean, it's like, at least like, it's kind of nice for like students that are not studying technical studies that they have like a free license for Office. And
yeah, but it's a big showstopper for free solutions.
That's
if
true.
Everyone is just always defaulting back to Microsoft products because they don't see the cost, basically, because the state already paid it.
And actually, I remember that actually the whole CTU University uses email services from Microsoft, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also getting more common.
I think this locally hosted, but they still use the services. And it's actually something I don't know, so maybe I'll not talk about this very much.
Yeah, no, our university also switched over from some Unix mail system to Outlook, whatever stuff. I don't look into that by out of protest. So I know that as well. How is it in France?
There also this default switch to Windows project, to Microsoft project in general. Like most of schools and high schools and universities are using by default Windows and like Office suite, like bureaucratic from Microsoft and everything from Microsoft. And when there is free software, it's really a choice to make that a different way, and it's not at all that's common. Like in my school, like engineering school, for most of classes, you will need Windows, and if you have Linux, you just have to find the solution yourself if it doesn't fit exactly the same way to do it as on Windows. So there's a few courses that you use where you use Linux, but most of students, I think, would never use Linux on their on all the length of their studies. So. Yeah,
quite similar situation. Yeah, but if I understood you correctly, your student network, you completely split, not only the uplink, but you completely split off from the school.
Yeah, we.
So now you're free to do it your way. What is the stance in your network?
Yeah, in our networks, it's only like free softwares on all servers and everything. It's just like. At school, it's like all Windows, and in the 12th, it's all Linux most of the time.
I saw one of the other French guys was talking about this centrally developed information system. Are you using that one as well?
Yeah, we are using that one. I'm not involved. I think that no one in my association is really involved in the development of the software. But we...
I found this very, very interesting because we in Dresden, we quite struggled with our information system and the development of it because it's a really big task. I'm always impressed how smaller networks manage to handle it. Our latest new development took, I think, 6 years and just got deployed last weekend. So, and still not everything is working. Yes.
Yeah.
So I was quite impressed that you managed to get together. Is it also a Federes project?
Yeah,
or
it's supported by Federer's, like, there is most of our engineering school, you only stay 3 years in there. So it's really short, especially to deploy a new information system, and especially to develop one. And actually, there is a few schools in Federer's where you stay longer, and some of the members of the schools are really involved in developing this software. So hopefully there will be someone to continue, because it's the whole problem, like, who is going to update it. But for now, they are still working on it, and I think there are like 5 or 6 people. I'm not in the development team, so I don't know what I'm talking about much, but yeah.
Maybe for our newer listeners, just in case, I'm not sure if this term information system is really understandable easily, if you're not in the student network scene. When we say information system, we mean the software which manages our members' database and financial transactions in many different ways. I don't want to get into that. It's a whole, also very interesting how differently student networks approach all the finance problems with SEPA and all the other possibilities. And usually it also manages the access control for the network. So quite a lot of features. It's like developing, it can be like developing your own little SAP solution, which other companies spend hundreds of millions on, and then they cancel the project after 5 years. I think Lidl was just in the news that they just didn't manage to switch over doing such a project. Yeah, so it can be quite a burden on networks. And I mean, we already in Dresden, we have, for a long time, we had 3 different solutions running in parallel, because we went through a unification of different
pieces of stuff.
And individual organizations and
individual dorms
was just not possible to integrate everything easily, because these information systems are always very interconnected to basically every other service there is, which makes it really hard to switch over. So it's very interesting if you say that there's no one really involved in the development.
Not in my association.
But you are able to run it sufficiently. You are happy with it, or
it's
problematic.
The aim when they started the project was doing an easy solution with the basic stuff. So since then it has grown, and there's a lot of options and additional modules that you can add to add different functionalities, but the basic thing was to make it simple to install and easy to use for everyone and every new network association that would need an information system to start.
Mm-hmm.
So the project is on GitHub, and basically you have all the installation instructions that are there, and you have just to fit it in your own network.
So, I mean, our new information system is also on GitHub, but I highly doubt that anyone could really use it without getting very...
very deep into it.
Yeah, and getting a lot of help from our guys which developed it. But that's really working. So, yeah,
it's work for us. I didn't install it, but I know it was installed last September, and we have some trouble with it at the beginning. And... So since the last update, it's working. So for now, it's okay.
And you said it's also meant to help new student networks. Is that a thing in France? Are there still
new
networks starting up? Because in Germany, it's, I would say, the number of student networks is rather declining.
Yeah, there is a Federer's. It's one of the will of Federer's is that if you want to start, we will help you. And so I know that last year there was one new association that came to a Fedora's event because they were looking for advice. Because the problem was that, if I remember well, the school wanted to give the net. The school used to manage the network from the student residence, dormitories. I don't know how you call them, but in the end, at one point they say, "Okay, we won't manage it again. We won't continue to manage it. We will give that to a private company." And they were trying to convince the school to let them run the network, which is pretty hard when you don't have an informatic system services that knows you and know that you're reliable. Mm. So I don't know where they are now, like what's their situation now, okay. But they were looking for advice. So yeah, there are still some that sometimes...
Oh, well, sometimes these kind of ideas also pop up in the head of some of some people from CTU, but luckily we have been able to convince them to keep the network student to students. Yeah. But sometimes it just pops up.
Yeah, we nearly got that solution. We nearly just close our... They nearly just forget us and switch to a private companies like... Just before we became independent, we became independent a little bit due to that. And yeah, they were, I don't remember very well, but at one point in the negotiation, someone told me that at one point in the negotiation, they were nearly having a contract with a private investor, and some guys from the association just say, "Hey, we are still here. And just don't forget us. It will be cheaper for students, and we are on site if there is anything to do." So
it's like, I think, I don't think we talked like in a podcast about it, but like some time ago, we had a discussion about like how's the motivation to do something if you're getting paid for something, or if you do it like for free because you like to do it.
Yeah.
And like my opinion on it is like that if you do it because you like to do it and you do it for free, you're usually more passionate to have it working than if you're getting paid anyways.
Yeah.
So it would even maybe be a better quality of the net if we like let students run it.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, it will be maybe best qualities, but yeah, students don't stay long in our university. So yeah, main problem is for bigger things, it would be a problem. But like for dormitories, I think it's the best solution because students can learn a lot from running the network, and that's just amazing what you can learn. And
yeah.
Or we can help others to understand what you're doing.
Yeah, it's actually true that in our dormitories, the students usually stay at least 3-4 years. So there is not such a big turnover because the usual length of the study is 3 years for bachelor and 2 years for master's, at least for the technical, for the information technologies and software systems, stuff like that. Computer science, but there is not that big turnover, so that problem we don't really have. But we do have a problem finding new active members sometimes, and keeping them.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard a student network say, we have too many people.
Never. I think it's like an illness, like every social organization has to fight.
Actually, we have one in France where there's a lot of people, but I don't know if everyone is really active in them, but they're quite big, because two associations just merge, and I think it's the biggest one in France, so... I think they are like 25 or 30 members, which is amazing for a network size. So I don't know for you.
Okay.
But
I mean, the largest one I know in Germany is probably the guys from Ilmenau, the FEM, because they are running a TV besides the network and doing a lot of network stuff. We in Dresden, I think we are on paper 60 people. But I mean,
like
really,
in real life, it's always less.
Yeah, it's maybe 25 or so, the core team. How many people are you?
In my association, it's small. Like we are currently, like before the start of the school from September, we all up to CMS is 7, 8, I would say. But most are in holidays, so during summer there was like no one in there because we don't stay in dormitories during the summer. And we have like 2 or 3 people who are really into the technical side, and like 3 who are into the association and learning, and some who are just around at the meetings and that we don't see much. But yeah, our main problem is like turnover, because we do have a turnover of approximately 2 years. In 2 years, every member of the association can have changed.
That's really fast.
Due to our studies, the way our studies work for engineering school.
Okay.
That's... So for network, it's fast.
Yeah, really, I think. I mean, we have members which are now, I don't know.
Many years.
I'm not sure if it's 10 years already, maybe even.
Yeah.
So long with us. It
like
helps.
In Stuttgart, the representative from Stuttgart yesterday told us that his predecessor in the post he's doing, like the finance guy before him, was doing the finance stuff for like 10 years in this organization, which is like really, really, really long.
big footsteps to follow. Yeah.
But was was that an employee actually?
No.
It was a volunteer.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, it's always difficult, I think, for all student organizations. But do you feel like it's critical? Is it is your organization in danger somehow by it, or was it always like this and you will manage?
It has always been like this because the way it's organized, our studies are organized. But yeah, it's quite critical because if 1 year there's no one, then it's dead. We need at least 3 people a year, and if 1 year there is no one, then the one from the year before would left without teaching anyone how to manage the network. So yeah, it's a big problem, and we have to find someone. So just there is no choice. We have to find someone. So
yeah, for us it quite changed a lot when they introduced the bachelor master system. Before in Germany you had this diploma system where you usually stayed 5 years, and now with the bachelor you sometimes only stay 3 years at the university, and this was already you can quite see the consequences of that in the students union and everywhere. So yeah, it's really tough because you basically only have 1 year to learn and 1 year to teach the next guy, and then that's it.
Yeah,
more or less. Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah,
crazy.
That's the same problem here because we have 2 years after the equivalent of the Abitur, like the end of high school degree. We have 2 years of preparation, and then we enter in of preparatory classes. We have to sit competitive exams, and then we enter engineering school, and we just have 3 years. And the third year, usually you don't stay in your own school. We'll do something. Many people do something somewhere else, like abroad or in another school. Basically you have 2 years in the associations.
Okay. And you here in Prague, you have also problem finding new people, but is it critical or?
It depends on the organization.
Okay.
Partly it also depends on the team, because almost all of the dormitory clubs are more or less independent from the others, and that includes information systems and all the stuff around it. So for example, Silicon Hill has their own information system. We have our information system written by different people, which have now are all left the dormitory a long time ago. For example, in Sinkulka, we have now 3 active admins, but it will be a problem very soon, because at least one of them is going to, I think, leave in 3 years, or is actually doing a doctoral study right now, but he's not that active, let's say. The rest is me and the guy who's been on the he's actually an employee of CTU and he's been on the dormitory for more than 10 years. It is a problem at some dormitories. Somewhere the network team has completely died out almost and had to be rebuilt from students. It happens from time to time that this happens and the network needs the students basically have to get to know the network by on their own. Yeah, there is no one really who could help them with this. And some dormitories were running outdated equipment. It is getting better, luckily, in these days. But it always is this big problem of how are we going to get you guys?
But like, it's not common that like if one of your dormitories runs out of active members who like take care of it. So it's not common that then a big other dormitory like Silicon Hill comes over and just takes over the dormitory and just does their stuff so that that people living there at least have some connection to the net.
It happens. Sometimes it is necessary.
Okay.
This happened at the Faculty of Biomedical Engineering where they had to set up information. They had to set up information system from somebody else, and actually, they set up their diet. The router died, and somebody actually had to drive all the way to Kladno, which is on the north of Prague, get it up and running. And sometimes it wouldn't work. Sometimes it would break, and that is a whole other mess. We usually don't want to do that.
So you just like to stay in your dormitory and do the stuff there.
Yeah, that's true. So there is not usually a big connection between the clubs, nor there is any centralized IT. Silicon Hill has about 20 active members operating the network, I think. Maybe I over exaggerated the number a bit, but I think there are also some services. There are a lot of services I don't know about even. But I think they will also have that problem soon if we don't figure out a good way to get new people.
Okay, so I think that's a kind of good end point. Or what? Did you still have a topic?
No. So let's hope that this international SNT will help us a little to get a little more publicity and visibility. I think many students just forget about us actually because the network just works and you pay your fee and that's it. So let's hope that this helps. People actually started yesterday evening to translate the wiki and registered a new domain name, which doesn't end in .de. So stuff is happening. People are switching over the chat rooms. So I invite everyone to join. We are working on getting rid of these German-only stuff. So if you listen now and are interested, just look it up in the wiki. All the chat rooms are public, the mailing lists are public, no problem. And the next S&T will probably be held in Bratislava. At least the folks from there yesterday
were very interested.
It's not yet fixed because they of course need to go through the details a little and get a okay from I guess all the other people there. But that would be I think really great. Looking forward to visiting yet another city.
Yes. And so, in general, to everybody who's like a first-time listener to us and like things like has some feedback to us or like has a wish for like more international episodes or like if you're just happening to be in Dresden and you can always come by and we can do like a feature or just talk and like sit together in a pub or something. So we are always happy to like communicate with our people and share ideas and work on solutions together.
Yeah.
So we were happy to receive some feedback. We are really thankful that you joined us today.
Yeah, thank you. It was very a pleasure. Much.
Thank you very much again for organizing this great event.
It was,
I think,
so much fun.
The pleasure was ours.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you very much. And yeah, to our listeners, hear you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.